This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Tomorrow, the deadline is reached for sequestration, the automatic across-the-board budget cuts that will take effect if the President and Congress cannot reach a deficit reduction deal. Both sides have been talking about it for a long time, and negotiations will continue into tomorrow. Republican Georgia Senator Johnny Isakson is a member of the Senate Finance Committee. He joins us now from Washington. Senator Isakson, welcome back. Good to have you.
Good to be with you, Dennis.
We've heard a lot from both sides saying these sequestration cuts would be everything from the end of the world, only a problem if they take full effect, and it will take a while for them to take full effect, or no problem at all. Where are you on this?
Well, sequestration was designed to be a poison pill that Congress would not take, so it would force Congress to do its job. Unfortunately, Congress has not done its job either in budgeting or appropriating, and because of that, the sequester kicks in. It's not the first time we've had sequestration, by the way. The Graham Rudman Act, Graham Rudman Hollings of 1986, caused a sequestration then for a short period of time, and the result here, I think, will be the same as the result there, and that is once sequestration hits, starts to take effect, Congress will be inundated by those who are affected by the changes, and we'll find out the shortcomings of cutting across the board versus cutting based on a cost-benefit analysis, and we will end the sequestration and allocate the cuts necessary, the amounts in the aggregate that need to be cut to the agencies, and let them cut on a cost-benefit basis rather than across the board while we get our act together and begin to go back to the process of budgeting and appropriating like Congress should.
Now, you mentioned a moment ago, you said Congress hasn't done its job. So does that mean you support the plan that some of your Republican colleagues in the Senate have offered, which would say, okay, let's stop the across-the-board cuts, turn over, give the president a week to make those merit-based cuts, if you will, and give him until March 8th, and then if he doesn't do that, then we'll go back to square one. Is that something that you would sign on to?
Well, that's an alternative that certainly would work, and there's one thing you left out in that alternative. If you give the president the authority to make the cuts, Congress, through the Senate, has the right of a resolution of disapproval, which would mean the Senate could override it if he made political cuts or inappropriate cuts. So that's one way to skin the cat, but I think the best way to do it is to do what I said earlier, and that's take the $44 billion that needs to be cut in the remainder of this fiscal year, assign it across the agencies, give the agencies the opportunity to make the cuts themselves rather than use across-the-board cuts on sequestration. They know where the fat is, they know where the most important programs are that don't need to be cut, and they know where there's room to cut, so that's the way we ought to do it.
Is the bigger issue a possible government shutdown on March 27th?
No. That's not an issue. The House has said they're not going to do it. We certainly are not going to do it. What will happen, and this is a prediction, Dennis, but when the 27th of March comes, we will do a continuing resolution for the remainder of the year, and in that resolution we'll designate the amounts each agency must cut rather than have sequestration.
So what will be the long-term effect of this? Will we get a budget passed eventually?
Long-term effect, I think, would be we'll never want to revisit what we've gone through the last couple of years with one self-contrived deadline or fiscal cliff or crisis after another and recognize the country expects us to do our business and do our job the way it was designed. And we now have the inspiration of desperation in terms of the motivation to get our job done. So I think this is the darkness before the dawn.
We've heard that before, though, with the fiscal cliff. What's different this time, do you think, in the way your colleagues are looking at this?
Well, Dennis, remember the fiscal cliff, we solved the problem. On 2:30 a.m. on January 1st, we came together on a bipartisan agreement, 88-9, which is a pretty bipartisan vote if you ever had one, to fix the tax code, address the concerns, make tax rates permanent rather than sunsetting them every couple of years, solve the estate tax problem, equalize capital gains and dividends. We now have not a cliff, but we have a head wall we're running straight into with a Congress that hasn't been willing to do appropriations. I think what's going to happen is that we'll sever the sequestration and instead turn it over to the agencies to make the appropriate cuts necessary and then never revisit this process again by going back to the regular order of appropriating and budgeting.
quick political question. There's been a lot of speculation now that Senator Chambliss has decided not to run for re-election about what your plans are for 2016. Have you decided that you will seek another term in 2016?
Well, I had a fundraiser this morning.
I'll take that as a yes. Should I?
I wouldn't be asking people to make an investment in something that wasn't going to happen.
Georgia Republican Senator Johnny Isakson, a member of the Senate Finance Committee. Senator Isakson, thanks so much for this time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis.